Why is this important now? Why are we talking about weed? This is it?
I mean, it's legal, right? It's
totally legal.
Okay.
How does that work? Do people get upset at you if you do certain things?
That's Elon Musk, right?
That's him.
That's all it is.
So the dilemma is this. Alcohol is prohibited in Islam. That's clear cut, right?
Yeah, alcohol is actually killing people.
It's killing people, and it's prohibited in Islam.
What are the top three arguments that you have dealt with?
This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to the Dean Show. How are you guys doing? How are you doing?
Doing excellent.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I heard you're training a lot now.
Alhamdulillah.
Great Gracie Jiu-Jitsu.
Trying to keep it up,
You're getting ready for your friendly match with Joe Rogan?
Getting ready.
Has he contacted you on the last program
reaching out
to him?
Not yet. We've been waiting.
Because you guys are right there in the same community, aren't
we
you?
We are. Yeah. Yes. And now we're both doing Jiu-Jitsu. So.
Okay, well, let's kick it off. Since we mentioned Joe, and we did that nice show for Joe on some of the misconceptions that people have, and you kind of went systematically one by one.
Yeah.
We dismantled those arguments, but we got something new now that we're going to touch upon for all the weed, pot smokers, marijuana, dope smokers.
Yep.
Yeah. I think this is going to be very interesting. Let's get into a clip. How's that?
Let's do it.
Because he recently, he had, what's that?
Elon Musk.
What happened with that?
So he brings Elon Musk on. He, you know, offers him to try marijuana, you know, smoke something. So he takes he smokes a little bit. And all of a sudden, Tesla stock drops, like, significantly because of one move of Elon Musk. You know.
Wow.
Yeah. Which shows you that, you know, people's perception in society of marijuana is still, you know, it's still concerning. They're very concerned about doing that.
This is it?
I mean, it's legal, right?
It's totally legal.
Okay.
How does that work? Do people get upset at you if you do certain things?
That's Elon Musk, right?
That's him.
That's all it is.
He's the owner of Tesla.
CEO of Tesla and SpaceX.
The combination of tobacco and marijuana is wonderful. First turned onto it by Charlie Murphy and then reignited by Dave Chappelle. There you go.
Plus whiskey.
Haha, exactly.
Perfect. Balances it out.
And some whiskey, huh?
alcohol is a drug. It's been grandfathered in.
Well, it's not just a drug. It's a drug that gets a bad rap. Because if you just have a little, it's great.
Well, we can say a lot on that. Why is this important now? Why are we talking about weed?
Okay.
Marijuana, cannabis, what's the proper term? Any of these?
Yeah, marijuana, you can use cannabis. So marijuana is the main term, you know, and so many terms, you know, Mary Jane, dope, you know, weed, all of that stuff. It's really important right now, specifically because, you know, we grew up in a generation where there's like, you remember the DARE program, drug abuse, resistance, education, we're taught like, don't do drugs. At the same time, you got pop culture, you got movies, you got media, everyone is promoting marijuana. You got Snoop Dogg, you got Dr. Dre, you got, you know, all of these people have been promoting marijuana for a long time. So there's this mixed message being given to people that, you know what, drugs are bad for you, but then at the same time, you know, marijuana is not that bad, it's not going to have so many effects on you, it's not such a big deal. So we got legalization of marijuana across several states in the United States. We got now legalization of marijuana in Canada for recreational use as well.
In Canada right now?
In Canada, the new law just...
That's just not medical. No. In California, it's medical, right? In
California, it was medical. We were the first state to pass medical in 1996 or 1998. But since this year, January 2018, it's just completely legal.
Now you can just...
Recreational. You could walk right into a marijuana dispensary. I did it just for research purposes. Yeah. Not tried it, but walked in there. And you don't need a card. You don't need a medical card. You don't need anything. You just
since the
beginning of this year.
How old do you have to be? What's the age?
I think it's 21.
21?
I think it's 21. But anyone who's 21 can just buy it and just go and give it to whoever, 13-year-old, 12-year-old.
And now Canada, the whole country.
The whole country.
It's... legal for recreational. It's,
as far as I recall, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is a big thing. So what's happening is spreading. And what it shows you is you got almost 30 states where it's legal for medical or medicinal, you know, purposes. And usually there's some basis for that, but then that's also a flimsy excuse for people to go and just have easy access to marijuana. Mm-hmm. You know, you could go in there. My brother told me a story. He said he walked in California. He had a backache. His friend said, you know what, why don't you, you know, go get a marijuana card? He walks in, 30 seconds, there's a doctor on Skype, and he goes, what's your problem? He's like, I have some back pain. He goes, oh, okay. How bad is it? He's like, it hurts quite a bit. Okay, giving you a prescription for medical marijuana. That's it. He's got his card. He could buy now as much as he wants. He didn't buy it, but he just got it, you know? And he's like, it was a joke. It was like literally a joke. So we got that dilemma of people now having easy access to marijuana. It's seen as like, it's a safe drug. There's no problem. You can get high. You got Muslims now who've always wanted to smoke, like having more of an excuse of, you know, I don't drink alcohol, but this one is okay. But then on the flip side, you actually have, you know, medical advantages to the cannabis plant, and it's very hard to differentiate between these two. People are confused about, well, where do you draw the line? Where is it, you know, there for your medical benefit? Because there's a lot of, there are benefits in the cannabis plant. So that's where we have a problem now.
Yeah, how do you balance that out? Because alcohol, for sure, there's no doubt about it. Yeah. I mean, and we don't just go off this, we have the criteria. We have the Quran, we have the Sunnah, everything is just clearly laid out.
Yeah.
But now when you look at, for instance, WHO, the World Health Organization, they estimate that every 10 seconds, or is it one in every 10 people? No, one every 10 seconds, someone is dying from alcohol, right?
Yep.
And every 10 seconds, someone is dying from alcohol. Mm-hmm. But you don't have those same kind of negative effects
With marijuana.
Yeah, exactly. And then you also have some medicinal value there.
Exactly.
So
see, that's the dilemma. So yeah. And that's the argument too. So the dilemma is this: alcohol is prohibited in Islam. That's clear cut, right?
Yeah, alcohol is actually killing people.
It's killing people, and it's prohibited in Islam.
Yeah.
Getting high for recreational purposes on marijuana or any other drug is also prohibited in Islam.
That's clear. There is no doubt about that. There's no arguing this.
There is no argument.
Recreational
use of marijuana. Any drug that's going to be altering your mind, it's a psychoactive drug, it's prohibited in Islam.
Wisdom now.
Okay, the wisdom, let me tell you the dilemma first.
Yeah.
The dilemma is that the argument in American society and in many Western societies or many parts of the world is, you say, but alcohol is legal. And marijuana is less harmful than alcohol, so it should also be legal. So what Muslims start doing is they're like, they make the same argument. They're like, well, marijuana is a lot less harmful than alcohol. So they buy into the same thing. They say, okay, well, that should be halal, whereas, you know, we believe that alcohol should be haram. That part is clear. So there's confusion there, right? And the confusion is easily resolved for Muslims in differentiating between the two. So you got alcohol may be more harmful than marijuana, but they both alter your state of mind, right? So in Islam, alcohol is not only prohibited because you're going to potentially go home and, you know, beat up your family, or because you're going to get a DUI, right? That's not the reason why it's prohibited. That's one of the wisdoms. But the underlying reason why it's prohibited is because you're taking your mind, your free will that Allah has given you, and you're basically altering it so that you cannot make the same type of rational decisions when you're in a state of, you know, being high. When something has altered your state of mind. Anything that's going to alter your state of mind is going to be prohibited in Islam. That's why alcohol is prohibited. Even if you didn't have the stats on DUIs, even if we didn't have the stats on, you know, causing liver, you know, disease and all of these other things, alcohol would still be prohibited in Islam. Because Allah has given you this ability to think straight. And when you try to take that away and you start making irrational decisions, even if they're not necessarily harming anyone, you start laughing at jokes that are not really funny, or you start saying strange things or whatever it is, Islam teaches us not to put ourselves in that type of state. Anything that's going to get us in that state, we need to stay away from it. That's why alcohol is prohibited. And on top of that, all of these other bad things happen because of that. Marijuana is in the same category.
Yeah. What are the top three arguments that you have dealt with regarding Muslims or whoever, and they want to use it as a recreational drug?
Yes, top three arguments. Argument number one is, this is not the most common, but the first one that comes to mind is that, you know, there's verses in the Quran where Allah says that, you know, He created all plants, you know, and this is all natural. So because it's natural, Allah created, it's built in nature, all of these plants are there, why can't we consume it? It seems like it's perfectly fine. The problem with that argument is, I mean, you could poisonous mushrooms, you know, are in nature as well. You're not going to consume them. You're not going to eat things which are harmful for you. So that's a problematic argument, right? The second argument is that it's much safer than alcohol. So it doesn't cause the same level of harm as alcohol. And that's kind of what I was explaining, is that Islam did not prohibit alcohol only because of the massive harms that it has for society, but it prohibited altering your state of mind because you're not going to make straight thinking decisions, right? And the third argument is that, you know what, when you say intoxication, anything that intoxicates you, right, then they say, oh, well, caffeine should be prohibited, right, because it intoxicates you. Nicotine should be prohibited. They say, you know, eating a lot of chocolate should be prohibited because it alters your state of mind. That's really a semantic argument that, you know, caffeine, you know, can intoxicate you if you have a lot of caffeine. When we say intoxication, anything that causes intoxication is prohibited in Islam, unless there's some like absolute necessity for it. That's a play on words. It's a trick of words, because intoxication has many different meanings. Intoxication in Islam basically means anything that is going to alter your state of mind such that you can't think straight the way you would when you're not on that substance. You can't, you know, you can't speak straight the way you would normally do compared to when you're on that substance. So that's the problem. So I've heard that argument a lot. They're like, well, if you're going to say that, you know, marijuana is prohibited, then caffeine should be prohibited, and then other things should be prohibited. Or they talk about, you know, it's not addictive like alcohol, or it's not addictive like other drugs. So then the assumption is that the reason why it's prohibited in Islam is because other drugs are addictive and this one is not addictive. But that's not the reasoning. That's not the underlying reasoning. So we need to differentiate between the effects on society, which are there, there's no doubt. Mm-hmm. I would argue that I agree, and Muslim scholars would agree, that in many cases, marijuana is safer than alcohol. But that doesn't mean that it's okay to do, right, from an Islamic perspective, mm-hmm. right? So that's a challenge that society has to deal with. And there's a famous Imam, Imam Qarafi. He lived about, you know, 800 years ago in Egypt. He made the same argument. He was actually arguing that hashish is potentially safer than alcohol. He's saying both are prohibited in Islam. But he was making the argument that hashish, if someone takes hashish, hashish is from the cannabis plant as well. Mm-hmm. It's from the resin of the plant, whereas marijuana is from the flowers of the plant. So it's very similar. It gets you intoxicated the same way, gets you a little bit high and all that. But he's saying that when people consume hashish, they're not going in, like, you know, getting into fights, becoming violent and all of that like you do on alcohol. Mm-hmm. So this is not some new argument. Muslim scholars have been tackling this for a very long time, but that's where there's a confusion in the mind of people, that they can't differentiate between, you know, massive harm to society versus you on an individual level should not alter your state of mind because it's not a good thing to do. It's not good for you, and that's what our Creator has taught us. Mm-hmm.
Right. So this is what you specialize in. This is you're also from the California Islamic
University. Yes.
So this is, you're also an imam.
Yes, I'm also an imam.
You're specialized in these areas.
Yes. So I've been doing a lot of research. I just wrote a paper for the Fiqh Council of North America on this. We just did a paper for California Islamic University as well. So that's something I've been researching for a long time now. And I've had a chance to really look into this in detail. And I'll tell you honestly, like, researching this has changed my perspective a lot. Not on the Islamic prohibition of recreational smoking or inhaling or whatever, but more on the medical side. So my research has actually concluded that, you know, there's a lot of benefit, medical benefits, in cannabis. And this is something that Muslim scholars have been saying for over 1,000 years.
They've been saying that.
I mean,
Muslim scholars have been saying that there are medical.
Absolutely.
Not recreational.
Not recreational.
Medical.
Recreational, 100% clear cut. Not a single Muslim scholar throughout history that I know of has ever said you can just, you know, do
it. Pick it up and light it up a joint.
No.
Like we just saw Elon Musk and Joe Rogan do. You
exactly.
can't do one of those.
No, you can't do one of those.
Okay,
right?
So you can't be like Joe.
You can't be like Joe. You can't be like Elon even. You know, just trying it, be like, it's not so bad. It's not so harmful, given to the argument about, you know, it's safer than alcohol and all that. All of these arguments, we may agree with these arguments, but just because something is safer than something else doesn't mean it's good for you. You know.
So you can you say that one of the wisdoms that the Creator had created this plant is it's there, because you wonder, like, then why did he create it? Why is it there?
Mm.
Can this be for one of those for that healing component in the plant?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why not? Because it makes sense. There's so many plants out there where if you use them in the correct proportion, they're a healing for you. They mm-hmm. can be used as a medicine. And there's a hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him, where someone came and said, you know, Prophet, should we use medicine? And he goes, yes, use medicine, because there's not any illness that Allah has created except that he's created a cure for it.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning you just got to go find it,
yeah.
You know, except death.
So can you make it another example? Let's say the pig.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you had a farm, and I'll connect it to this, where that pig is like a human garbage disposal. It just eats everything.
Right.
Would you be able to say, hey, may Allah created it, you know, as a garbage disposal, and I can use it on my farm to eat up all the garbage.
Got it. Right? Yeah, yeah.
And not to eat it.
Not to eat it. Yeah, not to eat it. But maybe it serves another purpose.
Serves another purpose. Absolutely. Same here with this plant.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because I've also experiencing family members who've had the cancer, and you just start to look at, because traditional medicine are the traditional drugs.
Yeah.
They many of them come at a huge cost. They don't actually heal.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have a healing component in this, yeah, and you have people testifying to it.
You got opiate addiction, you know.
You have the
major
huge.
Epidemic, you know. How many people are addicted to opiates, you know? You got a huge problem, especially, I mean, in the high schools. We have, you know, kids, especially from upper class families, they're all, you know, popping, you know, different opiates,
yeah.
You know, that they got from their parents, and they're addicted.
How would you, those are the painkillers.
The painkillers. So it leads them to meth, leads them to so many other issues.
They have a ton of documentaries exposing this. The kid or the adult goes to the hospital and they put him on these painkillers, then they finally leave the hospital, but they're addicted now.
Yep. Yep.
And then they end up, when you interview them on the street, how did you get here? I started off with
opiates.
With the opiates, with the painkillers.
Painkillers, yeah.
And now he lost his whole life, his whole career. He's on the street now. Yep. She's on the street because of these. That's a huge epidemic of a problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So now you have a dilemma. Now you have these drugs that come at a cost. They're not, and in many cases, they're making more problems.
Exactly.
Like this is just one example.
Exactly. So many side effects, right? So, and that's the problem. So that's one of the common arguments for the legalization of marijuana, is that it's a lot safer than these other painkillers and other prescription drugs that are there, which are causing so many other problems. And it's a legitimate argument, right? I have like a warning at the end, but it is a legitimate argument. So let's talk a little bit about that, right? So the cannabis plant is what marijuana is made from, the cannabis plant. Okay, cannabis is a plant, and it contains two main chemicals. It's got 100 chemicals, but two main chemicals. One of them is THC. Okay, it's tetrahydrocannabinol, and then you got CBD, which is cannabidiol. So most young people, they know these terms. They know THC and CBD.
Mm-hmm.
THC is psychoactive. Okay, THC makes you high. Okay, CBD actually doesn't make you high. It's not psychoactive. And now the latest research shows that CBD inhibits THC. So the more CBD you have, the less effect that the THC is going to have, the less high you're going to get. If you go to any medical marijuana dispensary, you look at their menu, okay? They have a menu of like different types of weed and what you could buy and all that, strawberry kush and different, you know, strains. They're trying to maximize the THC content and minimize the CBD content. So THC content gets up to like 20% or more. CBD content gets below 1%. It's like point something percent, right? So that's because people want to get high. They want different types of high when they're going to smoke it or vape it or, you know, use a bong or whatever. Now what's happening is that the latest research on medical marijuana is showing that most of the healing properties are in CBD. They're not in the THC. So if you want the medical benefits of marijuana for most illnesses now, it's showing that high CBD strains of marijuana or high CBD products are the ones that give that benefit, which is perfect for Muslims because we're trying to avoid the high THC so that we don't get high, we don't alter our mind, and yet at the same time we get the medical benefits of marijuana. For me, this is amazing. Like this research is perfectly in line with Islam because Allah created this plant. People have been abusing this plant with hashish, and they've been using this plant with marijuana, and then we see the medical benefits, and now research is showing that most of the medical benefits, they're actually in the part of the plant where it's not going to make you high in the first place. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing. And that's why we should be promoting more research in that field. The problem that we have is the federal government of the United States still classifies marijuana or cannabis as a Schedule I drug, which means that they believe it is very dangerous and it has absolutely no medical benefits. That's a federal government, not on the state level,
yeah.
Right? So what's happened is you can't, until recently, you can't grow cannabis anywhere. You can't grow it, you can't have it, you can't import it, you can't get it anywhere, you can't test it. So there's no medical research being done. So all you do is you have a few people, you know, trying here and there, saying, oh, look, this helped me there. Research cannot even continue. And that's a problem, mm-hmm. right? So that's why from the Islamic perspective, we would like to see more research being done. And we should be promoting the research on the cannabis plant to see what kind of, you know, more medical benefits that it can actually have. And it's a much better alternative than the other drugs that are out there on the market.
Now, since it's legal in the whole country of Canada, is this going to promote more research? Or
The hope is that it will, absolutely, yeah. Uh-huh. And it's a good thing. So this is where Muslims have a dilemma.
Are people now also allowed to grow it in their backyard as they grow a tomato? Or
Different regulations exist. So I think it's state by state. They have different regulations. Yeah. So I'm not, I don't know the details of that, but now people can actually grow it on a more massive level. For the last 30 years, they could not even grow hemp. Hemp is from cannabis. It doesn't produce marijuana. It's used to make like fibers and all of that. And we used to import all of our hemp from France because, you know, the government was so afraid that anyone's going to grow any cannabis plant. You're not even allowed to grow a hemp plant, which has like almost no THC in it, right? So now that's all changing. And there's going to be a lot more research coming out. And we should promote that research, and that's good.
Going back to your point, you're making a point that the dilemma...
The dilemma is this. So what we got is the people who are pushing for the promotion of medical cannabis, or medical marijuana, as they say, right, for medical benefits, they also believe in the pushing the recreational use of marijuana and making it just accessible. There's nothing wrong with it. Elon Musk, Joe Rogan, it's not a problem. Just smoke out whenever you feel like it, and it's not a big deal. So what's happening is you got these two things overlapping. People who want it to be used for recreational purpose and say there's no big deal, and also to be used for medical purposes. They're kind of on the same boat, and that's where Muslims have a dilemma. Muslims need to have a clear line in between. That on the one side, you got the okay for medical purposes, you know, of using cannabis, but you have a clear no when it comes to recreational purposes, right? And when the two become mixed, a lot of Muslims become confused and they start doing the same thing, right? They start thinking, you know what? There's no line in between, and that's the problem. That's the challenge.
How do you now? What is that line that you have? Okay, oh, I have a backache. No, you know where what. Line does Islam give to where you can take it and where it's crossing it? Because someone has legitimate back pain, legitimate, you know, neck pain, whatever the case.
Right.
And now they have to decide, am I going to take this ibuprofen or I'm going to take this, a painkiller that it comes at a cost eventually, right. Messing up the lining in the gut and other health problems over time.
Right.
Or do I go ahead and take this marijuana? Because usually we think, okay, if someone has cancer, then there's no doubt about it. Okay, take it. But where is the line? Okay,
I'll give two general principles. Yeah. So the first principle is that if you got a high CBD product, it's not going to get you high, because it has very little THC or maybe even no THC in there. So when you have a high CBD product, it's not going to make you high. So So high CBD product is not a problem at all, right? It's not a problem because it's not going to make you high. So anytime you have an issue with pain or whatever it is, using a high CBD product, if it can't make you high, if it cannot be psychoactive, it's not going to get you in an altered state of mind, there's no problem with using it at all, right? Under any circumstances. When it comes to some products have to have a little bit more THC. Those can potentially get you a little bit high, right? You can only take something that's going to get high as a medical exception in Islam. So the exception has three rules. Rule number one, there should be no alternative available that does the same thing for you, like safe alternative available. Number two, it's got to be proven and effective that it actually works. right? And number three, you should only take the amount that you need for that significant thing, and it should be an illness that's significantly affecting your life. Mm-hmm. These are pretty much the principles that Muslims need to apply.
Yeah. People usually think about, when you think about cannabis, that you're getting high, you're smoking it. Mm. But you have people, you know, they've turned it into an oil.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like black oil.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen that?
There's oils, there's edibles, there's so many ways of consuming it. I think one of the issues that we have as Muslims, or as a society, is that there's something connected with smoking in and of itself, that like, if you're smoking it, it's bad, because people generally smoke tobacco and they smoke marijuana to, you know, for bad purposes. So we've connected smoking as being like the problematic route. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily problematic. There's some lung issues and all that. But if you vape it, if you consume it through an edible, if you take it as an oil, there's so many different ways. You could apply it as a topical. There's creams you could put. If you have jaw pain or something, you could put it on your jaw, certain illnesses and all that. So there's different ways to actually get it into your system. As long as it's a safe route of getting it in, whether it's with the oil that you were mentioning and all
cannabis
that.
Oil.
Cannabis oil. CBD oil is very popular. And there's two types of CBD oil. There's the hemp oil, which has almost no THC. And then there's CBD oil with a level of THC, but like a ratio could be like 20 to 1 or 40 to 1 CBD versus THC content, right? That stuff, as long as you don't take like an excessive amount, it's not going to make you high.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lot of medical benefits. And a lot of this research is coming out. It's proven. A lot of people have, you know, been cured from a lot of illnesses. They've been able to manage a lot of their pain. And, you know, there's room for that in Islam. And we shouldn't, you know, we're concerned about abuse of this product. It's a real, genuine concern. But we should also be concerned about what other people are going through. These painkiller addiction, people are going through pain, and Islam allows and promotes the use of medicine mm-hmm. for these things. Allah has created this for that purpose.
Are pretty much the scholars in this area, are they pretty much on board with the same conclusions that you're talking about?
So I think most scholars don't really understand the cannabis plant. They don't really understand the difference between THC and CBD, nor have they seen, you know, the medical benefits of this. I think if most scholars did see it, they would really change their perception. So, you know, I wrote this paper recently for the Fiqh Council of North America. When I presented my findings to the scholars on that council, all of them were like, hey, this is really, you know, this mm-hmm. is some good stuff. I had one sheikh right after the next week, he called me and he goes, so what ratio of CBD to THC oil should I get? Because I got this other problem. And he's like, I'm going to the store and I'm buying it. You know, like, I'm going right now because I have such and such illness and I've been researching, and it looks like the CBD oil is actually going to help me in this. It is way safer than the other medicine. So once people, even the scholars, like, they have the foundational knowledge of Islam, but they don't have the knowledge of exactly what's going on with the whole mm-hmm. cannabis plant and CBD yeah. and THC and all that. Once they learn, I think most scholars will be on board with this opinion.
Because a lot of people are waking up. When you look at the pharmaceutical industry, and you mm-hmm. look at the, you know, many people don't even, you know, many doctors don't even consider that medicine. They consider it drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're masking the symptoms. You're not going for the root. But here you have potential that you can actually fix the problem. And again, we're making exactly. it clear. You made it, mm-hmm. this is not recreational, light up a joint in my basement and get
exactly.
high.
Exactly.
That's clear in Islam. There's no, that makes sense. No altering of your mind.
Exactly.
That makes sense that you're always aware of your surroundings, yep. what you're doing. That's the major point here. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about making it clear this is for sickness, for medical use.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Legitimate medical use.
Yes. And there's where that flexibility is. So many people are weighing out, you know, I'm taking this. You've had there's so many cases, you know, when you look at, let's say you pop this drug, you know, and then you have, next thing you know, over time, you develop all these other problems,
you know,
next thing you know, got a lump growing here, exactly. a cancer, a tumor,
exactly.
you know, and this is just, smart people are waking up. So they're looking for more of a natural means.
Exactly.
And this is a door that now of discussion that's worth taking. What do you?
Absolutely, I think it's definitely worth.
Where do you recommend for someone to get? Because we just kind of touched upon it.
Mm.
Where do you suggest someone? What role? Because you don't just go to your normal medical doctor. He doesn't know much about it.
Yeah,
you know, if you're living in the states or
right, it's starting to change. I mean, from California, so it's starting to change in California now. There's some regulations that are changing, so people are going to start prescribing it and recommending it more. There are actually some drugs that they produced. from, you know, CBD and THC mixtures that are now approved by the FDA. So it is changing. I would recommend, unfortunately, there's not that many, you know, great resources that I can, you know, refer you to. But if you just do your research primarily on high CBD strains and just look at the medical benefits of CBD or high CBD strains of cannabis that are consumed in different ways and what type of illnesses it can help for, you can find a lot of that. You got to be a little bit careful when you're treating yourself, because sometimes people don't really know exactly how much they're taking. There's not a regulation on exactly how much you should take and all that. Consult your medical professional who is well versed and has done their own research on cannabis, and then, you know, you can consider some of these alternatives.
A couple more points I want to mention before we conclude. If you notice, Elon Musk, he's a very successful entrepreneur.
Yeah.
He gets around Joe Rogan, and just the importance of being around good company and good friends.
Yes,
I don't think this is something he's not really a marijuana smoker.
Right.
Now some pressure gets put on you,
right,
and you're on the spot.
Yep.
You can see what influence. I was thinking about this when I saw this. I said, wow, man, how powerful it is, what kind of people you're hanging around with.
Absolutely. That plays a really big role, and we got to really be careful. You know, because one of the things that happens with people who smoke marijuana is they actually create like a culture, a very tight culture among people who get high, right? So when you kind of walk into that group, they want you to be part of that group. And once you become part of that group, it just reinforces the behavior and you keep on doing it more and more. You try and rationalize it. You try and justify it. It's safer than this. It's safer than that. It's the safest drug out there. It's not such a big deal. The effects will wear off. Long-term, you know, harms are not proven. All of these other arguments will come. But at the end of the day, it all comes back down to shahwa or desire. People have a desire to just kind of escape from the problems that they have. And they're just like, you know what, man? That's why people drink. You know, they go to a bar, they have a bad day, they're having problems in their family, their boss is giving them a problem. I just want to escape this world for a little while. People do the same thing with marijuana. They want to just escape, you know. But the thing is, you don't escape by altering your mind. Something that's going to harm you, it's going to harm your mind, even if it's for the short term. You don't try and escape that way. There's other ways to deal with stress. There's other ways to deal with challenges that Islam has given us. You know, Islam makes us understand that we take life seriously, that we have a purpose in life. And I encourage people to watch their company and try and figure out other ways rather than just trying to escape from their problems by getting high or getting drunk. Try and find other beneficial, positive ways that they can deal with that. Martial arts would be one of them. Exercise would be another. You know, being in good company. Sometimes you're just talking to your friends, making zikr, praying, just sit in the masjid. All of these things actually bring peace and solace to your heart, help you deal with the challenges you're going through.
This is something you're also trying to get motivation amongst many of the community leaders to start training also. You start training the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, something that I've been advocating for so long.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. So you started?
Yeah, I started Jiu-Jitsu. I've been doing martial arts for a very long time, different ones, but now I've really got into the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. I really recommend it for a lot of people. You know, people who want to just learn basic self-defense techniques, want to develop some more discipline and organization in their lives. They want to get a little bit healthier. You know, there's so many benefits to something like this. A lot of people, they do gym and they work out and all that. But I think this is really important as well, because it gives you more than just exercise. It gives you exercise. It gives you stress relief. It gives you life skills. It gives you, you know, just so many benefits. And I think it should be part and parcel of Islam. Muslims should try to, you know, cultivate this in their life, these skills, these benefits into some aspect of their life.
And the last thing, we have some good news, and this goes back to when you're filling the void that every human being, because you mentioned purpose of life, and when you truly, I mean all of us, even when you found that you live it, you still go through trials and tribulations, but when you just numb yourself to many of these things, you don't sometimes, it's hard to embrace the challenges, but when you have your connection to Allah, to your Creator, you know, where other people, they climb that ladder, and which each and every step they see that void is still not filled.
It's never going to be filled.
Sinead O'Connor, for instance, she was like the Michael Jackson, the woman of her time.
Exactly.
Very famous woman. She was someone who recently just accepted Islam.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah.
And you can see someone like that, for instance, may Allah give her success in the deen and keep her steadfast. It's a great example of going and looking for peace and contentment in all the wrong places, drugs being one of them, getting dope up and high and, you know, suicidal. But then you find it in the Deen. You want to be aware and conscious.
That's the best place to find it, you know. So many celebrities, they took their own lives. They went into drugs. They went into all these things because they were searching for something, and they went down the wrong path. Alhamdulillah, you know, Sister Sinead O'Connor now, alhamdulillah, she's Muslim. She went down the right path. She could have gone into drugs. She could have gone into doing all sorts of, you know, other weird behavior because of the challenges that she was facing in life. But alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah that she chose this path instead. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're very happy that she came, and we're praying for her, and we hope we can help her along this path.
You know what the number one suicide bridge is? I think it's in your neck of the woods over there.
The bridge?
Yeah.
It might be in Northern California, I think.
Is it, where is it? The Golden
Gate? Is it Golden Gate Bridge?
Yeah, that's one of the number one suicide.
Not surprising, but
In the world.
In the world, yeah.
Yeah, so now, that is amazing now that she, alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided her and to the purpose of life. And this would encourage a lot of people to really look deep into themselves and to seek and to understand, pick good friendship. And this is just one relevant topic that we're talking about, but it all comes back to, at the end of the day, what your focus is in life. When you're connected to your Creator, the final call is there. Is that how it should be?
Absolutely.
How do we, ending with that, like at the end, do I want to please myself and my desires? Am I going to the right qualified people? And at the end of the day, what's my guiding light?
Exactly. See, we got to realize our life is bigger than us. This world is not just about us. We have a purpose here. So we have to always keep that in mind. At the end of the day, yeah, we have free will. Yeah, we could do, you know, this limited free will. We could choose whatever we want to do. But we are accountable at the end of the day. And we're going to have to answer for how we lived our life. You know, so sometimes we become so individualistic, so selfish, we just think about, you know, I could do whatever I want and no one can stop me. But in the end of the day, when you die, you know, Islam teaches that there's going to be another life and that you weren't created here just like in vain, just to kind of play around and stuff. There's a reason why you're here. And if you realize that, if you understand that, and it's kind of intuitive, that there's some responsibility you got to take in your life. And that's where people just need to be careful. They need to realize that they're going to be held accountable for what they did in this life. So they should take their life seriously and not take it as a joke.
Thank you very much. Jazakallah khair. Always a pleasure being with you.
Assalamu
alaikum. And thank you guys for tuning in. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe already. Hit the notification bell. And this is very important that we don't waste the time that we've been given here in this life. Every second that we are here, it's a blessing. Every breath we take, we get closer to our appointment with death. So life has meaning. Make it meaningful by living the purpose that you've been created to live. And if you've testified, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, that is your guiding light. Fuel it, not your desires. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Subscribe to The Deen Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Deen Show by making a donation in the link below.